friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's been a remarkable and record-breaking season for Mohamed Salah, the Egypt and Liverpool football star, who could be one of the most watched players at next month's World Cup in Russia. On Sunday, Salah received another big award and put his name in the English Premier League record books, as we hear now from reporter Samson O'Malley. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with Egyptian international and African Player of the Year, Mohamed Salah, who was named the English Premier League Player of the Year on Sunday. Mohamed Salah had already won the PFA Player of the Year, voted for by his fellow players, as well as the Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year Award and Liverpool's own Player of the Year prize. The 25-year-old's deluge of individual honours came at the end of the season game in which he scored a record-breaking 32nd goal of the Premier League season on Sunday, as the Liverpool forward set a new mark for the most goals scored in the 38-game campaign. He has scored 44 goals in 51 games in all competitions for Liverpool this term. His coach Jurgen Klopp was full of praises for the Egyptian international.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think, and especially the last few weeks were really difficult. It would be, we all can imagine how it would be if everybody tells you every day how brilliant you are. And they don't only say you are brilliant, no, they give you an Oscar, an award for this, an award for that. I thought he got an award for getting out the car without an accident or without struggling. So it's really difficult to stay focused, and he is focused. Then he's really difficult to defend. So he played this season, which is outstanding, but he's young enough and has enough potential to improve still. That's really good news for all of us, for him as well. So there's still work to do, and I'm really happy about that. But what he is in his mind, he's a real go-getter. That's cool. He wants to. And I'll mix it up in a few moments, then there will be goals again.
Elsewhere, English Championship side Hull City on Sunday beat Kenya's national soccer champions Gor Mahia 4-3 in penalty shootout to lift the Sportpesa title. The clash at the Nairobi's Kasarani Stadium ended 0-0 in regulation time. Both sides squandered several scoring chances, with the Kenyans taking the lion's share. Nigel Atkins is Hull City coach.
You know, the penalty gods were on our side today. We've got to win. Anyone can win a penalty shootout, as we all know. Today we had a little bit of fortune. Another day we could have gone to the home side.
For Dylan Kerr, the Gor Mahia's coach, he was disappointed, and here's why.
I'm just disappointed for the players that weren't allowed to play today. I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, the match commissioner, I had permission from Hull City to play the whole team. For some weird reason, they said it's a FIFA match. I mean, it's a disgrace.
We stay in Kenya, as Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwenda has confirmed that Morocco has asked Kenya to support its bid for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Morocco will take on the joint USA-Canada-Mexico bid during the FIFA Congress in Russia next month, and is hoping Kenya will back their bid amidst threats from the US.
They have asked us for their vote. The Americans are no welcome. And so, for me, I'd say, why not have it in Africa?
I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from Liverpool's German manager Jurgen Klopp in Samson O'Malley's report. Klopp says he and Mohamed Salah and the Reds of Liverpool are excited about playing reigning title holder Real Madrid on May 26th in Kiev, Ukraine.
Yes, and he has as well. It's very important, 2 weeks to prepare our biggest game so far. Huh? That's for sure. It's a massive one. But now I'm really looking forward to it. So far it was always a little bit, come on, don't let's talk about it. Really, we have to play this game and this game first. But now, we will be ready now. That's really cool. And this gives us a big boost. Imagine we would have being in the final, and the only chance to go to the Champions League is to win the Champions League final. That's then maybe not the best option to choose, but that's really cool now, and yeah, will be exciting.
Jurgen Klopp, he's excited about Liverpool going up against Real Madrid on May 26th in the UEFA Champions League final. Klopp talks about how Liverpool got a big boost ahead of the UEFA Champions League final. Well, he's referring to Liverpool qualifying for next year's Champions League tournament by finishing among the top four clubs in the Premier League. With a 4-0 victory Sunday over visiting Brighton, Liverpool finished with 75 points from 38 matches, good enough for fourth place in the 20-team Premier League. Runaway league champion Manchester City made it to a record 100 points with a 1-0 road victory over Southampton. The Brazilian Gabriel Jesus scored in the fourth minute of stoppage time for Man City, which became the first club in history to reach 100 points in a top flight campaign. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Manchester City for a great, great season. Man City's local rival, Manchester United, finished second in the Premier League with 81 points, followed by Tottenham Hotspur with 77 points, and then Liverpool. Chelsea finished in fifth place with 70 points after a 3-0 loss at Newcastle. Swansea City, Stoke City, and West Bromwich Albion were at the bottom of the table, and those three clubs will now be relegated to the second-tier league championship. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Arsene Wenger, who marked an end of an era managing Arsenal on a winning note in Wenger's final match after nearly 22 years in charge. The Gunners of Arsenal edge host Huddersfield 1-0. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year, got the game-winning goal for Arsenal, converting from close range in the 38th minute. Before the match, Arsene Wenger reflected on his time with Arsenal. My Voice of America colleague Gwen Uten reports.
Wenger told the media that he's adapting to the change, but walking away is not easy.
Of course, that's my life, and I don't know anything else. And that's why, of course, it will be difficult. But on the other hand, I will leave a club where I can be proud of what is behind me as well, because it's a fantastic structure, fantastic conditions for the next manager. And I think I have been a little part in the development of a club that is historical and that has a huge fan base, and that I leave the club as well in the conditions where the future of the club is in a strong position.
It's been nearly 22 years since the Frenchman stepped foot onto Arsenal's former Highbury Stadium in 1996. The following season, Wenger led the Gunners to a championship title, which he says is one of his greatest moments as Arsenal manager.
I came completely unknown, and I could win in my first full year in charge of the championship. But funny-wise, I would say personally, I would say from 2006 to 2015 was certainly the period where I needed to be the strongest and did the best job, because I accepted to commit for 5 years when you build the stadium to work with restricted resources and keep the club in a position where we can pay our debts back. And I personally think I did my best job during that period. Not the most glamorous, maybe, but the most difficult.
But it was the Arsenal team of 2003-2004 that is widely regarded as one of the greatest to grace the Premier League. The team ended that season undefeated and were dubbed the Invincibles.
2004, you would say the achievement is nobody has done it since in the Premier League. So I believe that was I loved the team in 1998 because I found some players who had quality, were much better than I thought they were when I arrived here, and were very intelligent as well. And they were an experienced team. After we added a bit more exceptional quality, you know, in 2004, 2002 and 4, so overall, maybe invincible team, yes.
As one of the giants of the Premier League era, the 68-year-old led Arsenal to 3 Premier League titles and 7 FA Cups. Wenger says he is grateful for his long-serving tenure as manager, one of the longest in European history.
At the end of the day, you can say it's sad, but if you look at it in an objective way, I must say it's 22 years when you have a privilege to manage for 22 years at a club of that stature. You should be very, very happy and say thank you very much. It was a great privilege, and that's how I look at it.
Wenger's replacement has not yet been announced, but he urged his successor to respect the values of the Arsenal team.
I believe that there's a special bond in the team. There's something waiting to come out of this team that is special, that I like very much, and hopefully they can express that next season. But you, if you look at it in a very objective way, simple to look at what needs to be improved.
Wenger says he has no plans to retire and hinted to reporters that this may not be the last time they'll be seeing him.
The next evolution, maybe I will see you in a few years, and you'll have certainly a European League over the weekends. The domestic league will certainly play Tuesday, Wednesday. And so I think that's the next step that we will see.
That's Arsene Wenger, who ended his long career managing Arsenal Football Club with a 1-0 victory Sunday at Huddersfield. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, for that report. Arsenal finished this season in 6th place in the Premier League with 63 points. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Spain, where Barcelona's hopes of completing an unbeaten season in La Liga ended in a shock defeat at Levante. In a wild match, the Spanish football champions lost 5-4, ruining Barca's bid to finish a Spanish league season without a loss in its current format. And let's give yet another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Levante's 21-year-old Ghanaian striker, Emmanuel Boateng, who had a hat trick for the Spanish underdogs. Emmanuel found the net in the 9th minute, the 30th minute, and the 49th minute. Hat trick, Emmanuel Boateng! Macedonian international Enis Bardi had the 2 other goals for Levante. In what's being described as the shock of the La Liga season, Barcelona suffered their first league loss since falling to Malaga 2-0 on April 8, 2017, a record-breaking sequence that lasted 43 matches. It was also the first time Barcelona conceded 5 goals in a La Liga match since they were beaten 5-1 at Malaga in 2003. Barca's manager Ernesto Valverde decided to rest his Argentine superstar Lionel Messi against Levante. The Brazilian Felipe Coutinho had a hat trick for Barca, and the club's 4th goal came off a penalty kick by Uruguayan star Luis Suarez in the 71st minute. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Italy And you guessed it, we're going to give yet another Sunny Side of Sports salute. My arm is getting tired. Another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Juventus Football Club. Juventus won a record-extending seventh consecutive Serie A title after its scoreless draw at 10-man Roma was enough to secure the trophy with a match to spare. Second place Napoli won 2-0 at Sampdoria, but Juventus got the point it needed at Stadio Olimpico to win its 34th Serie A championship. Juventus now has a 4-point lead over Napoli with one round of matches left. Turning to men's tennis, Swiss star Roger Federer reclaimed the world number one ranking on Monday after Spanish rival Rafael Nadal suffered a surprising defeat to the Austrian Dominic Thiem in the quarterfinals of the Madrid Open in Spain. The 24-year-old Thiem advanced to Sunday's final in Madrid, where he lost in straight sets 6-4 and 6-4 to Germany's Alexander Zverev. In an on-court interview after lifting the trophy, the 21-year-old Zverev said it's one of his best weeks of tennis.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been playing great tennis, and I'm unbelievably happy right now with my third Masters 1000 event. My second on clay, actually, so I feel great from the baseline, obviously serving as well, and that made a difference. I mean, playing the event in Munich probably helped me as well, so right now I'm just overly happy, and hopefully I can continue the way I'm playing in Rome.
And Alexander Zverev is going to Rome as the tournament's defending champion. Alexander dominated the competition in Madrid, not losing a single set all week. So he looks in great form as he travels to the Italian capital. In the doubles final in Madrid, Americans Bob and Mike Bryan, who turned 40 last month, were one win away from becoming the oldest top-ranked doubles team in ATP history. But the twin Bryan brothers were forced to pull out of the match while trailing Nikola Mektic and Alexander Peya 5-3 in the opening set after Bob suffered a hip injury. Bad luck for the Bryan brothers. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the National Basketball Association playoffs. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. That's Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo, who was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015. Dikembe has visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I know he's come in at least a couple times to record public service announcements like the one we just heard. During one of those visits, I remember Mutombo going up to the second floor of our VOA headquarters. He is a giant in every sense of the word. In fact, as he turned the corner, Mutombo had to duck his head so he wouldn't hit the ceiling on the second floor. And when I extended my hand to give him a handshake, my hand disappeared because he has giant hands. He is a giant, Dikembe Mutombo. In National Basketball Association news, the Western Conference Finals tip off later Monday night in Houston, Texas. The Houston Rockets host the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors in game one of a best of seven series. Rockets Warriors should be a very exciting series, especially in the backcourt, where Houston's James Harden and Chris Paul will be going up against Golden State's Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. Harden, Paul, Curry, and Thompson are four of the NBA's most exciting and explosive offensive players, so there should be fireworks throughout. In playoff action Sunday, the host Boston Celtics trounced the Cleveland Cavaliers 108-83 in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Reporter Gethin Kulbaugh filed this report from Boston.
The Boston Celtics struck first in a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers with a 108-83 win in Game 1 Sunday. Jaylen Brown scored 23 points, Marcus Morris added 21, and Al Horford had 20 to power the Celtics. James finished with 15 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds, but also 7 turnovers. Kevin Love led the Cavaliers with 17 points. Boston went on a 17-0 run in the first quarter and led by as many as 29 after that. Gethin Kulbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Gethin mentioned how LeBron James, who had been averaging 34 points a game in the playoffs, had only 15 points in Game 1. Boston coach Brad Stevens talks about his team's collective approach to defending LeBron.
By committee, everybody worked hard. You just have to keep make it as hard as possible on LeBron. Easier said than done. He's obviously not going to have many games like that. Their shooters around him won't have many games like that. But I thought our guys were locked in. And, we're just going to have to be that again on Tuesday night.
Meanwhile, LeBron James is also looking ahead to Tuesday night.
Just as confident going into a series, no matter if it's a 0-0 series or I'm down 0-1. So we have another opportunity to be better as a ball club coming in Tuesday night, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, LeBron. Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James. Once again, LeBron and the Cavs lost Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the Boston Celtics. Final score from Boston, 108-83. Game 2 in that series is Tuesday night in Boston, Massachusetts. Well, we're now only 31 days to the kickoff of the FIFA World Cup football tournament in Russia. And how about another fun fact for our VOA listeners? 31 is also the number of cities around the world that have hosted World Cup matches at two different editions of the competition. Let's highlight just a couple of those cities. Mexico City saw Pelé's Brazil triumph in 1970, and 16 years later, the Mexican capital was also the setting of Diego Maradona's Argentina being crowned the world champions. In 1974, Munich witnessed Franz Beckenbauer and company achieve global glory on home soil. And then 32 years later, Italy lifted their fourth World Cup trophy in that same city, Munich. 31 days to the World Cup in Russia. And that wraps up the May 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwick. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador to Kenya Robert Godek urged security forces to safeguard the rights of citizens and protect life by showing maximum restraint in interactions with the public. Speaking at an event organized by Kenya's Independent Police Oversight Authority, or IPOA, in Nairobi, Ambassador Godek said, "Human rights abuses, to include by the police, occur in all countries, including the United States. What is important is that when there is a report of police abuse, it be thoroughly and independently investigated. And when law enforcement officers, and as appropriate, even superiors, have perpetrated a crime, they should face justice. No one is above the law," he said. "No one should protect an individual who has committed abuses just because that person wears a uniform. Everyone has the duty to uphold human rights and to ensure the rule of law prevails." The ambassador's remarks were made at the launch of the Independent Police Oversight Authority's IPOA Cloud Connect, a complaint management system funded by the U.S. to the tune of 650 million Kenyan shillings. The project has been under trial since April 3, 2017. It was designed and built by a U.S. firm, Info Gains Division of Dominion Energy. Together with the government of Kenya, the United States has been deeply engaged in developing accountability in the Kenyan police services, assisting in the work of IPOA. The United States has supported technical experts who have helped IPOA develop its operating procedures, including setting up IPOA's investigations unit and training its officers. Ambassador Godek noted that even though IPOA is still young, it has proven itself able to investigate allegations against police for using excessive force and to bring cases to court when appropriate. Ambassador Godek said IPOA's mandate to investigate allegations of abuse at the hands of police was of particular significance during the recent elections, but was even more critical now when Kenya is confronted daily by unexplained killings, police abuse, and corruption. The ambassador stressed the majority of Kenya's police are carrying out their duties with courage and professionalism. "Security is essential for every society's prosperity and quality of life," he said. "We all need the police. The security services protect us from crime, terrorism, and other dangers that threaten us."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show.
Our topic next week will be family planning. Are men and boys well served by family planning programs?
This is next Monday at 7:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga have agreed to end their political animosity. A discussion on Kenyan politics on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.